Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's broadcast of Alchemy of Light. And Alchemy of Light it is, as the new year descends upon us and we welcome unity and the beauty of discovering how we are all the same in our unique expressions. And today is a celebration of our global consciousness and how we reconnect with each other in mass. And we have participated, we are broadcasting from the Black Indian Inn in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and we have been participating in a worldwide meditation for unity and oneness. And so I'm very excited. We have had an amazing day. We will move right into this show. Would like to please welcome Ebony Three Arrows. He is the proprietor of the Black Indian Inn. Hi, Three Arrows. How are you?
Wonderful. Aiga, aiga, esagui, eolo, inula. Awake, awake, we are one. God comes here. We come in peace. We are one. It's good to be here and welcome everybody to the Black Indian Inn. We had a wonderful day.
Will you tell the listeners a bit about the Black Indian Inn and the sacred spirit of this place and what you've done with it?
In 1992, a wonderful gentleman by the name of Ivanildo Civilno de Araujo passed over and he left me the house. And the where he lived on the first floor, we keep that space as a space that we call a holy space, I guess a sanctuary would be best, meaning that we meet there once a week to pray. People who are of many descents, but the Black Indian Inn is also a layover from the Heritage Circle and the Red Clay Nations. The Heritage Circle was started by Reverend Little Arrow, who back in the 60s, as a Black Indian, struggled with the busing issues here in Boston, but maintained not only being Black, but also his Indian heritage. And many people came through the Heritage Circle. He's passed over. And many things are left here from there, and then also the Red Clay Nations, so, which is also a group that had started years ago. And so that's part of our heritage here. And we also have some of the spiritual practices that center the place, coming from the Wahu lineage, Dahani Wahu. We do Wednesday meditation. There is Peacekeeper here. There's Tony, of course, who does East Coast chant here. There's a men's meditation. There's many things that are possible. We have book signings. We have small weddings. But it's an open space, and we are celebrating the oneness here today.
And can you tell us how we broke in the day with the sacred fire at 111?
Yes, we gathered around the sacred fire. Many prayers had happened prior to the making of the sacred fire, which was made in a very special way. We began to build. People lined up, and we asked them to say to themselves or out loud, be still, know your God. Be still and know your God, to bring the presence of the God in everyone forward and full. We put one hand on the heart, one hand on the shoulder of the next person, and felt the flow of love, and then directed the flow of love and prayers into the fire, which will circle around the globe, down to the crystal heart of the earth, out to the stars and back, in all our relations.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. And we moved then in silence to the beginning of the ceremony that was put together masterfully by Tonya. And Tonya Pinheiro is the creator, the founder of East Coast Chants and Wake Up Works. And are you there with us, Tonya?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
And I would like to share with the listeners and Tonya at the same time. We have a handful of people upstairs to bring in the spirit and the continuing the momentum of our oneness, the celebration of our oneness. And so, Tonya, at this point, I'm going to basically hand it to you to direct the next person who will be speaking. I understand we have Grandmother Adeline and we have Okumba, and that I understood as I was I'm in the basement of this fantastic place for the listeners, and so all the awesome people are upstairs, and I understand there are variations of possibility. So you are upstairs in that action spot. So I would like you, if you would please introduce yourself and the message that you brought, and to please take it from here, be our goddess of ceremony as you've been today, and and introduce our speakers as they are ready up there.
Okay. Well, hello everyone, and my name is Tonya Pinheiro, and what I'd like to do before I talk to you about what happened today, from my perspective, I would like to introduce you to Grandmother Adeline, and I'm going to, and her name is Grandmother Adeline, and I'm going to have her introduce herself and share with us some of her wisdom and creativity. So this is Grandmother Adeline.
Happy New Year, OCO. I am Cherokee. I'm wishing you hello in Cherokee. One of the thoughts, the inspirations that I've had over the day in particular is the idea of moving forward with this year in faith. And I'd like to give a little phrase that I like to use called facing your fears. And it helps to get a bit of clarity. And I'd like to share a poem with you, a short poem called Old Tree. So now I, like an old tree toppled by a storm, have to do things differently from what once was the norm. Energy redirected in ways most unexpected. That's it. And I hope you get something from it, and I hope everybody can share and have a wonderful new year. And back to you, Tony.
Oh, wow.
Hi. Our names are morphing as we speak. we had several people come and present today. One was Deborah Horn Bramble, and she talked to us about the Osirian Tree of Life, or the Egyptian Tree of Life. And we had Aziza Braithwaite-Bay. She's a PhD in teachers at Lesley. And she brought to us the traditions and the meaning of Kwanzaa. And there were many of us in the room that heard about Kwanzaa but didn't quite know what it was. So that was a great education there. And so right now, and then we had Okumba Sauti. And he brought us from his tradition a water ceremony, beautiful water ceremony. So now I'm going to have Okumba introduce himself and say a little bit about who he is and his tradition and what he shared with us today. Okumba?
Thank you, Tonya. Yes, my name is Okumba Sauti, and I'm an initiated elder in the Dogra tradition from West Africa, particularly in Burkina Faso. And I'm working in this indigenous tradition of spirituality and culture based on the work and teachings of Maladoma Patrice Somme, who comes from that tribe, the Dagara tribe in West Africa. And So, you know, a lot of we're doing what we're practicing through East Coast Village, which is sort of the spiritual home for a lot of the people doing the Dogger work here in the West. We're doing a number of different kinds of rituals and that may, you know, encompass grief rituals, the different elemental rituals from the different cosmological elements in the Dogger cosmology, and different community building efforts and things like that. So we do trainings there at East Coast Village and regular ritual work there based around the shrines and the ancestor house that we've created there. Okay. So today we created a water ceremony based on the spirit of Kwan, which is the spirit of water. And some of the characteristics of that element are unity, healing, connection, flow, grief and emotion, balance, things that if we kind of look at modern society and some of the problems that come out of it and are created by it, we can see how water in its spirit, in its energetic, is a very powerful, powerful healing element. And so when we engage that element in ritual or ceremonial space, we're able to resonate with that energetic and to empower that energetic that lives in all of us. As the five elements of the Dogger cosmology can be found externally, like nature and mineral or stone, fire, water, and earth, they are also within all of us. So to engage these elements in ritual space is a way to come into alignment with these elements and to be able to carry them in a very healthy way and to gain healing from them with great gratitude, of course, always with gratitude, in a world that is in a sense not validating these very basic human experiences through ritual that we've been having since the dawn of human time. But what we did in the ceremony was we simply handed around a bowl full of water, and actually I mean just about full of water, and we passed it around so that each person could have a moment to speak to the water and to give their intentions for unity in the new year and in their lives, whether it be something personal or something global, something communal. And through that ceremony, we were able to come to a place of unity with it, because that's what the energy of water carries. But just in passing this bowl from one to the other, we're called into a space of unity with each other, to look at each other, to be aware of the balance needed to pass this bowl from one person to another, and to actually look into each other's eyes, to engage each other, and also to listen with patience and with compassion, which are other elements and characteristics that water has to teach us. So it was a really beautiful way of hearing the intentions and needs and desires of our community that we created here today. And in a way, it's a model for what we can do in larger ways and in very repeatable ways in the future, things that we can do to help ourselves come to a place of peace and understanding and reconciliation with each other and with the things that are in conflict within ourselves. So it was a really beautiful opportunity to hear what was coming out of people's hearts. And in a way, at the end of this, I will be returning the water that we used in this ceremony into the life cycle of the earth by pouring it out on the ground, so that in a sense all of these intentions, all of these wishes, all of the beauty that this community shared with the water will now become part of the world. As we had said before, the water that's in that bowl today will someday be on the top of Mount Everest or Kilimanjaro, maybe raining down into the forests of the Amazon or in the Congo or snow in Siberia. So, as you know, we understand that the water system is one water system. That is one of the metaphors for unity that water represents in our world.
Thank you. Will you tell us a little bit about what you were just sharing about the communion with the nature beings and with the energetic spirits and making offerings to the spirits? in material and how that connects us to spirit beings and the significance of that and how it enriches our communion with ourselves in this time as we become more multidimensionally activated, as we become more sensitive, intuitive beings. Right. And this, can you share with us, you share so well about these things, why does that matter that we have that moment, you know, and how does that work?
Yeah, it's a very important part. And really what you're talking about is a reciprocity. One of the things that even, as I call it, the incomplete science of science tells us is that, you know, all energy is conserved. It never dissipates or disappears in particular, though in a way we can dissipate it, but the universe is a cycle of life in and of itself. So when we, you know, this sensitivity that you talk about rising in populace and in human society is in response to the things that we cannot see, actually. You know, science, you know, modern science shows us things that generally we can see, even if they're talking about quarks and molecules, and they're talking about the material world. But more and more on the edges of science, they're talking about what happens in the space of things. You know, what happens in between, in the synapse, between the neurons, things like that. That's where, in a sense, the life is. That's where, if you will, spirit lives, but it's a deeper thing than just that physical reality. It's actually an energetic reality that exists in a non-physical form. And so many of the indigenous traditions of the world actually, in my research, it shows that every indigenous tradition in the world has had this understanding that reciprocity is important, that for us to be fully and in a healthy way in the physical world, we must acknowledge and give gratitude to the spiritual world and to the world of the unseen, which manifests itself as us and as nature, as the animals, as the plants. You know, where, you know, some of the traditions in South America where they use ayahuasca, the tree bark ayahuasca, to in which the tree bark actually teaches people about how to learn from the plant world. It takes them into an awareness, a deeper awareness of what would be unseen to us without it. Or meditation or different kinds of vision quests or ritual, or divination even, you know, like in the Dogra tradition of divination, helps us to connect with things on the other side and to see where we can create better balance between the unseen and the seen world by either giving offering or doing ritual, in a sense, and creating that reciprocal relationship, because spirit is always given to us. You know, our ancestors on the other side are always trying to help us out. But when we enter into relationship with them and create situations, ritually create situations, you know, these cultural systems, we call them spiritual technologies in the Dogra tradition here in the West. When we do these practices, we are actually creating an energetic relationship with the other side that not only brings greater health to us in the physical world, but brings greater health to the spiritual world. The earth needs us. Nature needs us to thank it. All the traditions of the indigenous people and beyond have always had songs and dance and offerings, physical or otherwise, prayers that have always energized the earth, have always given back to the earth and to nature and to the stones, to the stars, to the moon, to the sun, to all that is, so that we are part of that life cycle, that we are part of that. And unluckily, modern society has pulled us away from that. It teaches us that only the physical matters, you know, which is why we look for these weird concepts of beauty, and we're not looking for substance in each other anymore. And we're not even looking for substance in the earth. We're just looking for diamonds or gold or bauxite, instead of realizing that the water itself, you know, has a power to it, has a healing energy to it that we must be in reciprocity with. And that, you know, these systems of privatizing and commodifying water, even in bottling water, is not only hurting us in the way that it pollutes the water and also degenerates the water resources that are available in any one place, it creates an imbalance spiritually, so that it's not just a physical reality; it's a spiritual reality also. So we have to be in the mindset, in the heart set of giving back and being in gratitude and taking responsibility for what that gratitude and what that reciprocity means, that we cannot live in such a way that we degrade and devalue what is on the other side, what is unseen, nor what is the in the physical realm. We can't continue to pollute the waters any more than we can continue to desecrate the spirit of the water. And those two things are indelibly connected.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Dogara tradition? Is that the indigenous tradition?
Yes, it is an indigenous tradition that comes out of Burkina Faso, part of Ghana, Ivory Coast. Unluckily, when European colonialism came to Africa, they set up lines and boundaries that did not exist with what the people needed or what they wanted. So the Dogara people have gotten cut up into three different countries, but there's a large contingent of them, a number of tribes and groups in Burkina Faso. But they are, you know, culturally similar. But part of that tradition is a cosmology that includes, you know, these five elements of fire, which is Vun, water, which is Kwan, the spirit of water, earth, Tingan and Timbalu, the male and female aspects of earth, the mineral element, which is Kusir, which is stone and bone, and also nature, which is Wie. And another big part of that is the connection to ancestors. You know, you talked about that reciprocity. It's been said in the Dogara tradition that one of the reasons we're having such deep problems in society is because we're not recognizing our ancestors anymore. We're not using them as a resource. We're not asking them to help us anymore. So they're trying to get to us. They're trying to get our attention, and they're trying to do it in any way that they can. And sometimes it doesn't come across in a good way. But we have to engage them again. We have to acknowledge them, say their names, invite them into our midst again, and not be afraid of that life, death, or that ancestral continuum, as I call it, that we all live in that ancestral continuum, that when we pass on, we go into that place of unity and spirit. And in a sense, with our initial emissaries to the spiritual world, the ancestors, they had just left our midst, you know, and so now here they are on the other side, and they're the ones most able to help us to bring balance to our lives, to our bodies, to our societies, to our cultures, to our systems of living. And they want to help. You know, I've had any number of different kinds of connections with the ancestors, one of which is my father. And they want to help us. They want to be there with us, and we need to be in a situation of reciprocity with them yet again so that they can be fully empowered, so that we can be fully empowered, and that the human reciprocity is fully fully activated through that relationship. Which also talks about the community of humanity. You know, not only that we're building community with each other and learning about the balance of say the human village or the human, you know, global society, which the Dogara cosmology helps us to do, and all these indigenous traditions have always helped us to do. They're very sophisticated systems of how we live in community with each other and how we live in a place of respect. Not that we've been perfect, but how we live in respect and balance with each other. So it's all about that reciprocity here in the physical world in community and also in the community of spirit, you know, of spirit and nature, you know, the natural spiritual dynamic that has been part of human society since our inception on this earth.
And in the communion as one with nature and who we are as a humanity in one with nature,
yes.
What do you think about, you know, there's a part of me that thinks, oh my God, look, you know, we have these psychopaths in power who really are determined to bring us World War III, you know, and do we really want that? Do we really have time for that? And yet at the same time, you know, I look out and I see what you're saying and what we've addressed here and will be addressing a lot in our immediate future is the disconnect that has happened between humanity and the planet itself. And with great respect, remember the person who was sharing in the water, you know, questioning what happened to us, you know, Where did we go? How did we get off the track with the planet? What happened? And I feel like somehow they're connected. Like, that's the only way we could ever possibly be convinced of something so heinous as a war at all would be to be off track, would be to be have lost our connection to our divinity, to the fact that we are part of the creation. And how do you see the road back? You know, I mean, I understand it's going to happen. It's happening now. But how, from your tradition and from what we've shared here today, how do you see us reconnecting again?
Well, there are a number of ways to reconnect. And one of the ways is to be honest and to look with clarity about what's around us, to be present with it. And actually, that's part of the medicine of water and working with the spirit of water, is to slow down, is to be observant, is to, in a sense, look at in the reflection of the mirror of water into the reflection of our own souls and really look at how we are happy or we are not happy. And there are many ways that we can look into our own societies and see that many people are not happy. Many people, even those with lots of money, are not happy. They're no happier than someone with very little money. So part of the way back is just to be honest about these things and to be aware of when our emotions are coming into a cloud, what we should be doing, you know, because sometimes we get really tied up and, well, I'm going to hang on to this thing, even if it's a sinking ship, I'm going to hang on because I'll create this ship, when we should be saying, well, wait a minute, let's just jump off the ship and make another boat. You know, maybe we don't need to be on the ship at all, but that's a leap of faith and that's a leap of courage and bravery. And we have that within all of us, but one of the ways we find that is in community, is doing ritual with each other, is being in communal space and communal spiritual space, which again is something that humans have done for millions of years. It's, you know, it's the thing that's been in, if you want to talk research and development, the indigenous relationship to spirit and nature is the thing that's been in research and development for the longest time in the history of the earth. Modern life is a relatively new thing. It's highly untested and it's highly dangerous. So I mean, there's some possibly some very good things that we can pull from it, but we have to start to look at the longevity of some of these traditional ways of looking at things. That's why I don't like to call modern medicine conventional medicine. It is not conventional. The things that we call alternative are the things that are the oldest. Those are the things that have been around forever, and that now modern medicine is trying to take over. So we have to be able to look at these ways of being. We have to go to places of ritual, of, you know, being in safe, protected spiritual space. We have to start to understand each other as spiritual beings, as reflections of each other, so that we don't look at groups of other people and start to dehumanize them, whether they be women, whether they be, you know, people of African descent or of European descent, or, you know, of whatever kinds of grouping or people, you know, the gatekeepers, as we say, homosexuals and lesbians, they're gatekeepers that actually have helped societies bridge some of the gaps between the male and female energies. They've always served a powerful role in indigenous societies. So even that, we can understand how far we've come away from valuing human life and valuing the internal spirit that's in everything, that's in the stone, that's in the worm, that's in the eagle, that's in the vulture, that's in the human being. It's all part of the same energy. You know, in a sense, the universe is the most, it is a closed system, but it's the most unlimited system, you know, that we can ever imagine, you know. And it stretches out farther than we can see or even sense at any given moment. So just to be able to come back into communal spiritual space to do the technologies that have been set up by traditional cultures to enter into spiritual space, into ceremony, into these practices is part of our healing, is part of our healing as human beings. And these paths are there. You know, they're all there. And then there are ways of getting back into them, like through East Coast Village or through the Dagara way here in the West, and many, many other ways. But there are many, many healers and teachers out here. But all the work that we do and that is being done out here is to re-enliven the reality that we are all healers and teachers. We are all, in our own way, a gift to each other. And once we begin to unlock that gift that's in each of us, that the spirit world has given us, you know, these abilities and skills and sensitivities, that's when the real balance happens, when we actually start to take each other for who they really are.
Thank you for sharing that. And I wonder if you can offer, and close, and we'll pass it back to Tonya after this, would, for our listeners, that I'm really aware of this growing need in humanity straight across the board. And I've seen it, you know, the people, from people who never even occurred, it never occurred to them, this spirit stuff, or dedicated agnostics, the, you know, the people who are been disillusioned by spirit in the religious conversation, which, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But there's a real need now in humanity to understand these things. So I wonder if you could offer us, and for the listeners, say we're just Joe Blow agnostic and, you know, Sally Sue, oh, I hate God, but I know something's going on in me and I want to reconnect, okay? I just want to be able to reconnect because I'm a miserable person now and I want to reconnect. So is there a simple ritual, you know, if you know, that word even, you know, it's so connected to the religion and all, you know, ooh, 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 but okay, I can get over that. Let me get over that ritual word. And what can we do? You know, Joe Sixpack and Sally Sue, and we just want to connect. We don't want to get into all that crap. We just want to connect. Is there a simple thing we can do?
Yes. Yeah, there are always things that we can do. And one of the things that I would suggest, and there may be many, is that because we're in a, as we would say, a fire-dominated world, one of the things that we can do to regain balance is to go back to that water energy. As if you an opposite or complement to that fire energy. And what that means is to start to be observant, is to slow down, to say, hey, wait a minute, just because the world is saying go do this, and go do that, and we're all running crazy, we're all literally burning out. So the thing is to cool down. And simply that means to engage with water, get in it. When it rains, let it rain on you, let it slow you down. It happens all the time on the highway. What happens with the traffic? We slow down. When it snows a lot, we slow down. So we know that this is necessary for us to go into a place of meditation, of deeper feeling, not so much of what thinking what we can do, but feeling what's right, feeling that connection to all that is, and knowing that that connection lives inside all of us. It's not dependent upon somebody telling us what it's going to be like. We can all create it on our own. One of the gifts of Vision Quest is that people in the indigenous tradition of Turtle Island here in, you know, North America go out and find their way based on the cultural container of their own traditions. They go out and find that relationship on their own. In the Dogra tradition, one of the paths through initiation of the youth is for them to go into nature and to sense it, and to see it, to feel it, to taste it, to open themselves up to the energy that lies on the other side, and to see the patterns, and to understand that the nature that lives outside them is the resonant nature that lives inside them. So just for us to be able to be observant and to slow down and respect the fact that every one of us has a view of the divine reality of what the world is all about, of what the universe is all about, just like the worm has a different view of the world than the condor has. You know, but we need all of those ways. So that's why any one person can just slow down and definitely get into nature, even if it's just a park down the street, you know, or a little bit of dirt or ground or a tree popping up out of the blacktop or some of the grass. Sit there and connect with it. Be quiet, be silent, and let that reality speak to them and learn what that language is. There is a language, and people all over the world speak it, and they hear it, and everyone can do that. But many times it can come through quietude and the spirit of water that teaches us to slow down and be observant and to protect that space and say, look, I need to slow down here. I need to be quiet, or we as a family or the community need to be really in tune with what's going on emotionally for us and just to feel what the world has in store for you. And it's boundless. It's truly boundless. Yeah, there should be no reason for despair in this world, you know, given all the resources that are available. And that's why we make ourselves available to people, you know, with these traditions. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Wonder, do you have a website or anything that you could offer the listeners to go and visit for more information? Or would you like to offer your services or anything like that in close? Is there anything you would like?
Yeah, I would. And my website is www.ukumbwa.com. That's ukumbwa.com. And on it, you know, there's information about the divination work that I do, numerology work, and other kinds of healing work that I do, and different presentations and things like that that are available either through me or through other people in my practice and in my tradition. You know, we do things in community, you know, so if you, you know, call on me, oftentimes I'm referring to other people, other elders, other people in the other villagers, if you will, other people in our community. You know, my partner also does this practice. You know, and so, you know, there's always a communal connection to these things, but I would urge people to check out that website, to go to eastcoastvillage.org and look at the work that's being done there in Cherry Plain, New York, but know that these are things that can be done almost anywhere, and that some of the things that we want to do most is engage with people. I would love to talk to people. My email address is available on that website. And I would love for people to email me at any time or to get in touch with me and so that we can talk about these things. Any problems that the world presents to us is also matched with solutions that can be created. So there are always ways to figure things out, and especially when we work together in a communal way. So I would love people to engage us. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're welcome, and I will be posting all of the websites and things on alchemyoflight.org as well. So if you didn't get your pen, don't worry. There's
all
still
right.
another chance.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to hand you back to Tonya. And
thank you
to all the listeners for being present with us today. And happy New Year to everyone. Thank you. Here she is.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi, Tania. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. And you're the one upstairs. Are there other people waiting to speak, or are you ready to speak now?
I am. I think it's just me left.
Okay. Then please.
Go ahead. Ask me a question.
Okay, tell us about you. Tell us about your connection to creating this amazing, very culturally diverse and balanced celebration of our oneness today. Tell us a little bit about East Coast chants and the sound healing, and tell us if we're going to get a little sound healing too up there. If we're going to figure that out, and also tell us about Wake Up Works. Tell us who you are. You're a brilliant, brilliant spirit that's made manifest so many of the gifts in your heart, and it would be such a pleasure to hear your story.
Oh, thank you. Let's see. Where shall I begin? I was doing a meditation last night, and a scene came back to me from my childhood, and I was probably about maybe 3 or 4 years old. And my grandmother called to see if I wanted to come and visit her. And I often would go and spend the night at grandmama's house. And this particular night, I told my mother to tell her that I couldn't come because I had to build a bridge. And at that moment in time, I was very intently working with these little wooden, I forget what they called, it was kind of like an erector set, but they were made out of wood. I was very intently working on this, but as I said that to her, I knew inside of me that I wasn't talking about an actual bridge, even though I was playing with this toy. And last night it occurred to me that the bridge that I was talking about was the bridge between heaven and earth through humanity, and that this is the time now that we are in to actually do that work. And for many of us, I'm one of the baby boomer generation, and for many of us, we have been going through our lives finding ways to heal ourselves from our childhood trauma and all the traumas that we experience in our lives. And we keep trying to get healed and trying to get better and trying to do all these things. Now, this is 2011, the first day of 2011, and we are now here to get her doing, as one of those guys on that on that comedy show, you know, says, he says, get her doing. Well, now it's about, if I'm going to be an ambassador of spirit, if I'm going to wake people up, and this is because this is what is it is for me to do, then I need to just go do it. And if one person shows up, or two people show up, or 20 people show up, or 100 people show up, just go do it. Because what I'm discovering is I am in such joy when I'm in the midst of presenting something like what happened today. I get a lot of emails about a lot of events going on, and I will tell you that just, I mean, we're in the Boston area, Boston, Massachusetts, and I was amazed at how many people are doing something today to celebrate the first day of the year and oneness. I mean, I must have gotten easily 15 emails about different events going on.
Wow.
And then there's those worldwide ones. Like this, what we did today was part of a worldwide meditation. And it was sponsored by worldpuja.org. It's worldpuja.org. And they were doing something out in California at the same time that we were doing something here. And when I saw their announcement, you know, my spirit said, make it happen on the East Coast. So we did. And we put together, so I put together this and I called different people. And, you know, people were available and they said they'd love to do it. And I've never put on anything quite like this before, but I know enough people who are so solid in their path and what they know and who they are that I wanted to find a way to share them with others. And so that's how this came to be, this event came to be today. I am a singer and a sound healer. My spiritual life began to overtake my secular life back in 2003. And I've been on my path. I call my path Ascension Path. And I call myself an Ascension Path practitioner. And I've been kind of running parallel with it all my work life. My professional background is in human resources and organizational development. And as the 2000 came around and that decade started, I just more and more found myself doing spiritual things at work that were not work-related, not job-related, you know, and I would have disciplined myself had I been some other employee. I would have written myself up, but, you know, since I was the HR director, you know, how much work are you getting done today? So anyway, and I realized, and then the work itself started, the working conditions began to change as well. And so eventually it just got too toxic and I had to leave. And it was like I was set free. And I actually retired from work, although I didn't know it until like 8 years later. But so that's when I was able to really focus on merging my spiritual work and my professional knowledge and my creative work all together because that's who I am. And so I created the Wake Up Company. And the Wake Up Company is designed to help organizations, businesses, companies find where they are out of alignment with their values and help them to get back into alignment with their values. Because most companies have stated values, but they don't live them. They don't walk their talk inside the organization. So that's that piece of work. And then the music just kept going and going, and evolving, and I discovered improvisational theater, and then I, you know, met a woman, and we started this improvisational music group, and the improvisation is where I discovered God in me in a daily, basic way. Because if you're going to be any good at doing improvisation, you really have to put your ego in a box and trust what comes out of you. It takes practice, and it takes practice in a safe space, in a safe group. But I designed a course called Improvisation as a Spiritual Practice. Nobody signed up for it, but it's kind of like, you know, it's what I have discovered is I get quiet, I go into the zone, and I let it come out of me what comes out of me. So,
I would like that class.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll try to run it again because I started this thing called Sanctuary of Expression that's going to start up in January, and it's basically that, only it's got a little bit broader title. And the purpose of it is to be in a group with other people and have each person, help each person to really get clear, if they're not clear already, about, like, if you didn't have any limitations, what would you be doing in your life right now? To express God through you. And that's a very specific focus, in a way, okay? Because...
And to express God, will you elaborate about that? Is that like my creativity? Is that what does God mean in that context?
Yeah, in that context, it means what is the thing that would bring you the most joy and peace of mind if you were able to engage in it every day? And that's the thing we'll focus on, because to me, if that's what God, that's what expressing God is. It's about being in a state of complete bliss, but bliss in a real kind of, well, from this perspective, in a practical way, because the more people that wake up, the more people that are actually in alignment with what their spirit is guiding them to do, helps more people on the planet know how to do it too. It's that hundred monkey syndrome thing. So, yeah.
And how would somebody even discover their values? You know, we have a lot of fantastic opportunity with the economic decline and all of these things, you know, all the old worlds, you know, falling apart. And people have time. They have more time. And how would one go about using their time well to discover their true values? I mean, these are not even conversations that are introduced in our culture anymore. This is like bringing back the old, old ancient wisdom. And part of it is so automatic, we can kind of count on it being there. But how would you suggest to the listeners, to all of us, how do we find our values again? We've been, you know, living on hot dogs and TV, and we've been, you know, going to work, you know, 25 hours a day, 9 days a week. And and then all of a sudden we have time, and we're with us, and all these things racing around. But, you know, something matters to us. And how would we find that?
Right. And there's something ironic about the fact that there are so many people that have more time on their hands. I mean, that's kind of a big cosmic joke as well. But what I would say is, and there's different ways to approach it. What are you longing for? Like, if everything in your life was taken care of, it's that million-dollar question. Like, if all of a sudden you hit the lottery and you had millions of dollars, so money wasn't an issue for you in your life anymore, what would you do with yourself? What would bring you the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest peace of mind? And when you say, what do I value, what is important to you in your life? And what is important for you, like, what would be your legacy? Like, you're on your dying bed, your deathbed, and you're ready to transition out of this physical body, and you look back on your life and you say, I am so glad I did that. I'm so glad I was able to become that. Meaning, for example, I'm so glad that I let myself go and work with horses, even though I live in a city. Or I'm so happy that I gave myself the opportunity to sing. Even though I don't have such a good voice, and I know I don't have such a good voice, I let myself sing. Or I stopped complaining. I finally stopped complaining. Or I stopped worrying. Like, I really got that worrying didn't fix anything. And actually, it was making bad happen because I kept focusing on the bad stuff happening. And I learned how to release that and blow it up and let it go. And now that I'm dying, I can die with a peaceful heart because I was able to do that thing. That's what I think are the values. You know, the things. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish the things.
I was going to say the things that are important to us, the things that have value to us. But you've got to dig for it, and sometimes you need to get together with friends and try to scrape through all the superficial stuff to really get at it. Because like you said, we're so inundated with stuff out there that we don't even know what's going on inside for a lot of people. Probably not this audience, however.
Well, you know, you never know. And even people who assume themselves awake, you know, I feel like those of us who assume ourselves awake or more attuned to certain conversations, I feel like that means we just have that many more opportunities to share our light with everybody else. Part of what you said earlier, the 100th monkey, if we are in tune and we are, you know, in some level of awareness, then we have that many more opportunities to share that in our energy field and be that example. So if we're sitting around thinking we're already there, we could just, you know, have another smoke and it'll all happen. We haven't really arrived yet, you know, in my opinion.
Exactly.
So we have a lot more to offer. That means we have actually a whole lot more to do. We don't have time for a smoke, folks. We have to go.
Right. Well, one thing that I read was that this year, 2011, really sets the tone for the upcoming millennium. It's kind of like that minuscule course adjustment. That I'm telling you right now, there are more people on this planet in a conscious state right now that we just don't know about because it's not in the media. There are hundreds of thousands of us all over the planet in every nook and cranny. And because of that, we just don't know we're there. So I trust, I see us everywhere. I meet people all the time that are awake. They know where they are. They know who they are. They have that their connection with God and with their spirit. And so, and we're everywhere. We're just not revealed. So part of my mission right now, and it changes, it evolves, is get people to start speaking up. Because you might discover that, you know, you might think you're the only one in your workplace. But think the way you do, start having those conversations because you're going to find there's a lot of closet, you know, God people walking around that aren't necessarily religious, but are connected in their hearts with love. So
I'm so glad you said that, and that is so true, and that is also a great segue for BBS Radio, because as their slogan goes, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS, and their mission has been intentionally to bring a place for the voice of the alternative, the people who are actually all of us. It's like, it is absolutely true what you said. We are in the millions, and the more we speak up and the more we let ourselves be known, the more we let others speak up, and the unity then moves faster and moves.
Right. And there are people who don't know that they're they're crying out, they're longing for connection with something, but they don't know what it is, which is another reason why we have to make ourselves known. Because there were people here at this event today that were brand new, like they had never been to anything like this before, and they were beaming at the end of it, and thrilled to have found something like this. Mm. And I hear that from people all the time.
Your work is amazing, and I have so much respect and appreciation for people like you, because you are, you know, the age of, well, you're closer to the age of my parents, and you are a role model that I look up to and say, look, you know, when I'm in my 60s, I want to be able to say that I have lived true to my soul. I have been able to, you know, polish my gifts, and I feel like I'm just starting now. So I look at you and I just really want you to know how important what you're doing is, and you know this, but I think it helps to just tell you anyway, so you know, because it really matters, and every one of us matters to more people than we really could ever possibly imagine.
Exactly.
And this hour did its usual thing, and it went by. So, my dear, would you please give us some close and offer your websites and wrap us up, because we are at the top of the hour.
Okay. My website is eastcoastchant.com, eastcoastchant.com, eastcoastchant.com. And my contact information is there, and the sound file's there, and I'm going to give us a little sound bath as we finish out the hour.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to unplug my headphones.
Okay, so the close of the show will be a sound bath, and Happy New Year to everybody in celebration of our oneness. We are many colors, many cultures, many traditions, and we are all one. And we are all one with the sound healing. And if any of you have opportunity to explore the sound healing, it's phenomenal. The well, gongs and bells and guitar drums and during our celebration today, even Tonya's cell phone went off in perfect harmony with all the other tones. It was, I didn't even know it sounded like a cell phone, but after she told us, and it was so funny, it actually complimented the tone healing. It was phenomenal how even our modern technology worked perfect with this ancient tradition. So we are all one.
We are.
And yeah, so I'm really, we're on the end of the time. Do you think is it happening up there with the tone healing, sweetie? Or are we going to have to
Well, if you couldn't hear it, that means it's not coming through the telephone.
Oh, okay.
But I was just gonging and they were just drumming, and maybe it's not coming through the cell phone.
Okay. Well, we did try. We did send you out the tone healing in the light and the love and the energy. And so I invite you all to close your eyes and find your place to receive that. And wow. Thank you.